Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Monday, February 10th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Merton, and I had to bring my co-host here, Cole Sultan, on today because we got to talk about UFC 247, Cole. Lots to talk about, man. I mean, this is what we wanted, Cole. We wanted to have a card where we had a lot of controversy and a lot to talk about. So first off, how's it going, man? How was your weekend? And just give me your thoughts overall on the card, and then we're going to break it down one by one.
Yeah, weekend was good. The card was better than I thought. I thought Shevchenko Chukagian was going to be a boring five-round decision. So when that wasn't, I mean, Bekta Ige delivered as I thought. There was a lot of good stands, a lot of upsets. My picks weren't that good. Like, yeah. I did not see, like, Chaos Williams to me. Like, he's a guy that I'm going to keep my eye on now. I didn't know much about him. And to see him do that to Alex Morano, who's been beating really everyone in the past couple fights, like, that's really impressive. There's a lot of upsets to me, but and a lot of really surprising performances, and a lot of good fights on the prelims as well.
Yeah, you're right. There were some good fights in the prelims that, like, again, a lot of us were sleeping on. I had a feeling that would happen, but it was a crazy card, Cole. Let's start with the top, work our way down as we always do. As far as picks go, I mean, I went 7-5. I think you went 6-6. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. The only thing we had different was the Nuisance fight. So we obviously had a bunch wrong. I do regret not picking Taffa, though. That's one I even talked about on the show. I was like, man, Duane Adams is not very good. But anyways, let's get right into the main event, work our way down. Because we got to start talking about the main event, Cole, because, I mean, this is one of the more controversial decisions. Like, you'll talk about it in a second. I know that you kind of agree with the scoring, but to me, like, if you look at MMA decisions, like, that's a great website, by the way. Their traffic's blowing up. I don't think their website was available on Saturday night because so many people are on it, Cole. Their bandwidth was all used up. You know, this is one of those decisions like GSP versus Johnny Hendricks. Like, it's going to be a very controversial one. So John Jones officially defends his title against Dominic Reyes by unanimous decision 48-47, 48-47, 49-46. There's so much to talk about for this fight. Obviously, we're going to have to talk about the scoring, but I want to talk about the actual fight first, Cole, okay? Man, I was impressed with Reyes. You have to be impressed with Reyes. I mean, he looked amazing the first couple rounds. Obviously, he slowed down, but that's what I expected. I even said in my breakdown, I was like, you know what? The championship experience is the difference here. I picked Jones by decision. I had a feeling the fight would go five rounds. You know, I even talked about it with you, Cole. I was like, the difference between DC and Gus was he had fought him twice. He knew what to expect. With guys like Smith, Santos, now Reyes, it's the first time Jones has fought them. I think if he fights Reyes in a rematch, he could finish him the second time around. But the first time, still getting used to him, still figuring him out. Dominic Reyes looked really impressive. His boxing is extremely good, as we know. Great movement, good chin. He hit Jones with everything he could, Cole. I mean, Jones' chin is amazing, too. And, you know, I got to give Jones credit, man. Like, he weathered the storm again, and he pulled it off. But obviously, the decision is what everyone's talking about here. I'm going to ask in a second how you scored it, but I got to give my scorecard first. I had it 48-47 Reyes. You know, I had him winning the first three rounds 10-9, and then I had Jones winning the last two rounds. I even said, though, during the fight, go to my Twitter, I was bang on with everything I was writing about. I was like, the third round is the deciding round. It really was. To me, that was the swing round, Cole. I could have went either way. I leaned towards Reyes, but he did slow down a little bit at the end of it. So it was a close round for sure. I don't think this was, like, a bad decision necessarily. Like, I did score for Reyes. I do think he should have won the fight. I don't think 48-47 is a bad scorecard. I don't like the 49-46 scorecard. That, to me, is a bad scorecard. I know you've talked about, you said it's okay. I don't like it, Cole. I don't think you can give John Jones four rounds this fight. I think you can give him maybe three rounds, the last three. I don't see how you can give him the second round. That's, to me, a Reyes round. So, to me, John Jones is actually on a two-fight losing streak because I scored the last fight for Thiago Santos. He is slowing down. We'll talk about John Jones in a sec. You got to give me your thoughts on the scorecard and tell me why you scored the way you did.
I had a 48-47 Jones, and I thought the second and third round were swing rounds. I thought the only clear rounds were 4-5 for Jones and round one for Reyes. Even if you look at the judges' scorecards, two judges gave Jones the second round, and then two judges gave Jones the third round. So they were kind of split on the second and third round. Then they were all consistent on the first and fourth and fifth. Like, those were the only rounds the judge were unanimous. Second and third rounds, he had different judges given different rounds.
I know.
I think the problem with Jones is, even the Thiago Santos fight, I don't think that fight was close. I rewatched that a couple weeks ago. I still think it's 4-1 Jones. I think the problem is with John Jones is everyone's been so used to being so dominant. So when a challenger has a bit of success, everyone goes, oh, he's winning that round. But yeah. Jones was the one forward pressuring. Reyes threw a lot, but he didn't really connect on much. I think in the later rounds, especially in round three, like, I think what punches cause more damage was Jones. And I think when the strength's even, you got to go with damage and octagon control. And that was Jones the entire fight. He was the one always coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta say that, listen, I understand totally what you're saying, Cole. But that's not how I score fights. I've been watching fights for forever. And to me, like, when the two guys go in the cage, I don't even look at the belt. I don't look at who the two fighters are. I just watch who's doing more damage, who's outstriking, who's out grappling. Those are the two main components of scoring a fight. Then if it's tied, you go to octagon control. So to me, that didn't really even come into play, because I think that the first two rounds, even like this, I don't like love stats in MMA, but the stats show that Dominic Reyes outstruck John Jones in the first three rounds. So I think there is something to be said about that. I know you're saying, Cole, like, yeah, like, people do want champs to lose in general. Like, I think that's what happened a little bit with maybe the Demetrius Johnson-Henry Cejudo fight. Like, people were surprised that Cejudo actually had so much success. But in this particular fight, Cole, I really did think Reyes outstruck him in the first three rounds. So I don't think the octagon control came into play, because to me, he did more with the significant striking. And, you know, the takedowns were it was negligible for the first couple rounds. I think Jones had a few in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken. Just checking. Yeah, he had a takedown in the fourth and fifth. But again, those are clear Jones rounds. You know, it is what it is, Cole. Honestly, like I said, I don't think it's the worst decision I've ever seen. I just scored it for Reyes, the first three. I don't agree with 49-46. But yeah, I mean, as far as John Jones goes, Cole, now the question is, what did he do? Because to me, he's actually on a two-fight losing streak. And I love the guy, Cole. He is, to me, the greatest fighter I've ever seen. I remember watching him fight Brandon Vera 10 years ago, and I was like, man, this guy is going to be good forever. Like, he's going to be an amazing fighter. And he was the most dominant fighter of the 2010s. There's no doubt about it. But Cole, he's looking like a mortal now. He's not looking like the unstoppable force he once was. Now the question is, what does he do next? Does he stay at light heavyweight, or does he move to heavyweight? It's a tough question, because if he stays light heavyweight, Cole, sure, you know, that's going to be what everyone's saying now. He should stay light heavyweight because he struggled with Santos. He struggled with Reyes. He did win, but he struggled. Stay light heavyweight and then fight a guy like Corey Anderson, continue building up these light heavyweight title defenses. But my thing is, and I wrote an article for MMA Ratings, it's going to come out today. At this point, Cole, why risk losing to one of these guys like Corey Anderson when he can go up, or Dominic Reyes, whoever, guys with little names that are dangerous fighters, move up to heavyweight, take on Stipe, and if he loses, whatever. It doesn't even matter at this point. I just think he should be chasing super fights. So I don't know what you're thinking. I'm assuming you're going to favor him to stick around light heavyweight. But for me, it's like, why not just go to heavyweight at this point? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he's going to say light heavyweight. I think heavyweight, it doesn't really make sense to move to heavyweight right now, just because you don't know what's going on with Cormier and Miocic. And I think the only way he's going to move up to heavyweight is for a belt. I don't see Jones moving up to heavyweight to fight Ngannou or Blaydes for no belt. It doesn't
In my situation, it would be for a belt, what I was saying.
And, like, the thing is, it's so clogged up right now. No one knows what's going on with Cormier Miocic, so I think he's just going to hang around, and then he can continue to just defend his belt, just add to his legacy. And he made a point at the post-fight press conference. He wants to, like, defend his belt and win the most titles, like, because he passed George St. Pierre for most title wins on Saturday. Like, if he just keeps on doing that light heavyweight, like, that might be a record that never gets broken. He'll be in history books forever.
For sure. And by the way, there was a graphic on the screen during the fight. It was so wrong. It said most successful title defenses, and it had Jones at two. They meant to say most current consecutive title defenses, because he obviously had his title stripped. But he has, like, I think, what, 12 or something now? Something like that, Cole? You could double check while I read the questions here. We're going to go to the questions right now quickly. Katsuhiro Ryodoji, race back to prelims, a lot of running away, non-caging. Come on, man. When you read strike stacks after the fight, it's easy. Dude, I was watching the fight. I scored the fight in real time for Dominic Reyes. I'm just looking at the stats right now. I haven't even looked until literally 2 minutes ago, and they do show that Reyes outstruck him. I just go by what my eyes see, man. I would say I have a pretty good mind for this stuff. Most people, from what I saw, scored for Reyes. Some people scored for Jones, but the majority of people actually scored for Reyes. So I don't think I'm in the minority here. Let's see here. Kevin Scott, Jones could easily be on a three-fight losing streak if Smith wasn't able to continue after a legal knee. You know what? He's not wrong about that, Cole, because Anthony Smith's a warrior. He continued after that knee. John Jones got 2 points taken away in that fight. I think he won, was it 48-46, if I'm not mistaken, in that fight?
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 47.
I think he won all five rounds.
John Jones versus Anthony Smith.
Well, it's just Jones has 11 title defenses now.
11, okay. And it was 48-44, so it was actually pretty wide still. But had he taking that the easy way out. But Anthony Smith's not like that, so I wasn't surprised. you know, like I said, Cole, it's a controversial decision, man. It is, you know. But I don't think 48-47 either way is horrible. I really don't. And for me, it was like it actually benefited me that Jones won by decision because that's what I had. You know, that was my pick. That was my play in my pool. You know, you get bonus points for picking the correct method of finish. I'm just looking at, you know, MMA decisions right now. And, you know, this is not a foolproof system by any means, but, you know, looking at the media scores, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 had it for Reyes and 7 had it for Jones. So about 2-1 for Reyes. So, you know, that says something. I'm just going to look at the fan results. The fans, Cole, the fans had 71%. Fans had Reyes winning the fight by 48-47 scorecard. So again, you know, I think that a lot of people thought he won the fight. But again, you know, the question is now, do they do a rematch? Jones says he's open to it. I wouldn't mind it, but Thiago Santos should have got a rematch in that case. Thiago Santos, Cole, was actually closer to beating him because he actually got a scorecard by the judges. So he was actually closer. You know what fight I want to see, Cole? Do Thiago Santos versus Dominic Reyes and give
that's what I put in my the what's next column. I think that makes perfect sense. You never see a challenger lose and get an instant rematch. Like, Gustafsson didn't even get a rematch.
It happened with Machida and Shogun. That was one time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen rarely. Like, even Gustafsson in the first fight didn't get a rematch. And that fight was so close. Like,
and he should have. And I remember that was a huge controversy because the UFC's like, are you going to go fight Jimmy Manuwa? And they gave Glover to Sharon Teleshaw when everyone wanted to see the Gus rematch. We finally saw 5 years later, and it wasn't the fight we expected. But I'm with you, Cole. Like, it's rare. Like, Shogun versus Machida is one time, and everyone knew Shogun won that fight. And again, that's why they do it. They did it. I think the judges had that fight scored 50-45 for Machida that day. It was crazy. It was a terrible, terrible scorecard. But, yeah, I mean, this is not – we're going to be talking about this fight for a while. But, again, to me, it's like Johnny Hendricks versus GSP. The only difference is GSP went retired after we had no chance of a rematch. It could happen here, Cole. But, honestly, I kind of feel like it's going to be the winner of Anderson and Błachowicz that gets the title shot. I think they do want to have someone new in there, you know, but we'll see. Like I said, I still think there is in some way there's sense for Jones to move up and take a super fight, like, and just take the risk. Because at this point, he might lose pretty soon. John, the guy I call right here, Reyes doesn't deserve a rematch. He lost unanimously. So did Shogun, and he got a rematch, and he knocked Machida in the rematch. John Doe, Jones clearly won the fight. Dominic Reyes ran the entire fight. You guys got to realize how judging works. It's not about moving forwards or backwards, guys. It really isn't. Like, if you read the judging criteria, it's about significant strikes and effective offense and effective grappling. Those are the two main criteria. And if those are tied, then you move down to octagon control and aggressiveness. So you guys need to read the judging rules again. Having said that, I don't even think the real judges in Texas know the rules, Cole. And we're going to talk about those other fights. To me, there was more controversial decision on this card. I will say that. This is just the one I'm talking about because it was a title fight, Cole. But there were some bad ones in the prelims, man. We're going to get to them in a second here. Is there anything else you want to talk about this table? It's fine. I know we can talk about it probably for an hour, but go ahead.
Yeah, just one thing, like, it's on BJ Penn, but I talked to Jan Błachowicz, and he says the UFC's already told him if he wins, he gets a title shot. So that was before this Reyes-Jones fight happened, so I don't know if that changed things, but he said he was told that if he wins, he gets a title shot. So I think that's the UFC's plan.
I think they got to be impressive too, Cole, you know? To me, it's not just like if Corey Anderson just hugs Błachowicz for 5 rounds, I don't think like that'd be enough. I think someone's got to finish someone in that fight. Like, if it's Błachowicz versus Ronaldo Souza, you know, it was awful. Anyways, let's move on to the co-main event here, Cole. Unless there's anything else you want to talk about.
No, I'm good.
Okay, cool. Again, we could talk about it all day, but we got to move on. Natalia Shevchenko versus Kaitlyn Chookagian. I'm surprised that she'd finished the fight. I thought it was going to be a boring 5-round decision. It actually looked like that for a while, but Valentina looked good again. That elbow that she cut open Chookagian with, I thought the fight might be stopped at that point. It was a nasty cut. The cut man did a really good job actually fixing that cut up. But another dominant performance, third round, gets her down to crucifix position and just started raining down elbows, Cole. And I think it was a good stoppage by Jacob Montalvo, the referee. The question is obviously now, what's next for Valentina? I saw, actually, if you go to BJ Penn, we have the article up. She mentioned three names, Roxanne Modafferi, Jennifer Maia, and Joanne Calderwood. First off, Joanne Calderwood, she's kind of struggled a little bit. Like, I don't know if she'd be even, striking wise, it'd be an interesting fight, but like, she's struggled, man. And Jennifer Maia and Roxanne are like kind of veterans. Like,
and Maya's missed weight a couple times.
Yeah. You know? I'd give it to Roxanne, I think, based on the last win of Macy, but she did lose to Maia last year too, although it was a missed weight situation. I don't know, Cole. What do you think? Like, do you think who do you think gets it? I'm thinking Roxy. Maybe the UFC just built on that hype of that Barber fight.
I'd probably do Calderwood, just his.
Yeah, sure.
It doesn't really matter. I think whoever you put, Valentina is so dominant that I don't. The gap between her and everyone else is so massive that I think if you put in Calderwood, if you put in Modafferi, you put in Maya, it's going to be the same result. Valentina is going to win, probably going to win dominantly too.
I can't see anyone beating her in this division, man. Like, it's almost like a joke at this point. She's just so dominant, you know? She really is. Now, a lot of people were suggesting a trilogy fight with Nunes. First, to be honest, Cole, the first two fights with Nunes and Shevchenko weren't that exciting, you know? I don't know if there wouldn't be either. I do think Valentina would have a better chance, but I think people are actually – a lot of people were saying she has a really good chance to win. I think people are underselling how good Amanda Nunes is. First off, she's already beat her twice. Second off, she's beating everyone in dominant fashion. So I would favor Amanda Nunes if they fought a third time. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I think Valentina stays at 125. I think she's in a situation like Demetrius Johnson is right now, when he was a flyweight, Cole, in the men's flyweight division, just dominant over the competition. And, you know, they'll figure out what to do. But I think she at least is a little bit more marketable, you know. She's just a killer, man. She probably is one of the most like, vicious women we've ever seen in MMA. She's a beast. But, you know, this fight, I don't think anyone's expecting Caitlin Chikagian to win this fight. And it was actually... like I said, it was even more dominant than I thought. I thought Caitlin would at least be able to make it the five rounds, but yeah. Anyways, let's move on here, Cole. Heavyweight fight, Justin Taffin knocks on Juan Adams. That's got to be it for Juan Adams.
Yeah, I was talking to him yesterday. His UFC contract's done. That was his final fight. He doesn't expect to be brought back.
He won't be. I mean,
I think he's going to go back to LFA, pick up a few wins, try to be right back on the Contender Series in a year or two.
He came to the UFC too early. I mean, he had the win over Contender Series. He looked good, don't get me wrong, but again, you know, the first four fights of his career, Cole, they all ended inside the distance in the first round. He never had the experience of going three, and then his first fight in the UFC against De La Roca was a really awful fight against a really like bad fighter, and he struggled in that fight, did get the win. And then the Buller fight kind of was the decline and with the wrestling, and then of course the Hardy fight. Anyways, as far as Taffa goes, like, I'm not sure what to expect from this guy. I mean, he looked good in this fight, but I just don't think Juan Adams is that good, Cole. So, I mean, you got to kind of, like, hold your horses with Justin Taffa. He just got knocked out by Jorgen De Castro's last fight, too. The guy's decent. I think he is, you know, pretty fast for a heavyweight, but he's not even that tall, Cole. He's kind of like a junior, like a mini Mark Hunt, I guess. I think that would be a fair comparison, but I don't see a huge ceiling for this guy. Maybe he can knock someone on the top 50. You don't even think so, eh?
I think he might be able to sneak into that 13 to 15 range, maybe knock someone out. Not in any time soon. He's still, what, only 4-1? Like,
yeah.
I think he's a guy the UFC is just going to put him on Australia, New Zealand shows now. If he gets knocked out, oh, okay, whatever. If he gets knocked someone out, I think he's going to be a fight where they'll throw on the main card because it's probably going to end in a knockout in the first round.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You even called that yourself. You're like, that's why they put this on the main card. All right, next up, we actually got this one right. Consensus dog pick. Dan Ige defeats Rashad Bektic, split decision 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. He looked good, man. I mean, to me, Dan Ige is a pretty underrated guy in this division. He's 5-1 now in the UFC. He looked good in this fight. It was a close fight, Cole. I thought he did win the fight. I'm assuming you scored for Ige as well.
I had it for Bektic, actually.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, fair enough.
I thought it was close. I thought what round?
It was first was Ige, second was Bektic.
And I thought the third round, it could win either way. It was a scorecard where I thought if Bektic won, I'm fine with it. If Ige won, I'm fine with it. Like, I didn't have
It was really close. I did think that Ige actually ended up winning, but it was super close for sure. I just think he did a little bit more damage. You know, Mirsad Bektic's goal, I think we got to call the guy a bit of a disappointment at this point. I mean, you know, he started off his career 11-0, won his first four fights in the UFC, and since then, Cole, he is 2-3, and he's lost two guys like Josh Emmett, Darren Elkins by knockout, and now Dan Ige. I mean, what do you think about Mirsad Bektic? What's next for him?
I don't know. I think he's still young. I think he's only, what, like 28 or 29? Like, I don't think he's hit 30 yet. He's still a guy that had so much hype. I still think he's out of good camp, TriStar. Just like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think he could turn around. I think he needs to fight guys. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets entered in that pool where he's fighting guys off the Contender Series now. If they beat Bektic, they get a name. But if Bektic beats them, like, he could be right back up there trying to fight ranked opponents. Like, I would be surprised if that's his next fight, like someone fighting a guy at the Contender Series.
I don't think the UFC is going to release him because I think, like you said, 28, still young. He's a talented guy. He could have won this fight. He could have easily got the decision. So I don't think they'll cut him, Cole. But if they did, I think he'd do really well in PFL, man. I think he could be one of those guys that actually gave Lance Palmer some issues just because he is so well-rounded. But again, I don't see him getting cut. Let's go to the questions here. Katsuya Rudoja had money on Taffer and Knockout Abs. Yeah, I mean, that's one that I honestly should have picked. It's the one regret I have in this card because I even talked with him. Like, this guy is not great. Montgomery Whitmore, Jones won the Reyes. Jones won the fight. Reyes hits really hard. People have never seen Jones take clean shots. Yeah, he took a lot of shots, but man, his chain is so good. I mean, he's never really been dropped ever, like knocked down. It's crazy. Marcus, after watching Reyes versus Jones two times, I still have Reyes winning rounds 1, 2, and 3 and Jones winning 4 and 5. Reyes should rematch Volkan and Jones should fight Anderson versus Blachowicz. I don't want to hear any more talk about Jones being the heavyweight. I know what you're saying, Marcus, but again, like, why risk losing to a guy like Corey Anderson when you rather you could risk losing to Stipe and make a lot of money doing so? Do you like that fight, though, Cole? Reyes versus Volkan, too?
I think it makes sense. I think I'd like to see Reyes against like Santos, someone a bit higher up, like Anthony Smith, Glover Teixeira winner, someone like that. Like, I think Volkan, he's coming off a bunch of losses, and he just beat Rakic, who is low in the rankings. I think Volkan needs to get another win to be right near to get Reyes.
He the TV too, didn't he? I think he knocked the butt, right?
Yeah, that was his last fight. Okay. Volkan's last fight.
And he lost to Rakic. No, he beat Rakic, right?
Yeah, he beat Rakic. Like, he's on 2-fight winning streak, but like those guys are, they're not even in the top 10 either. So I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather see maybe Anthony Smith versus Glover versus Volkan and then do Reyes versus Santos. But, you know, they can mix and match. It's actually, light heavyweight division is actually kind of exciting right now. There's all these guys like kind of mixed up. So I'm sure someone's going to emerge as a contender hopefully soon. Just going back to the card, actually, we just talked about Latifi. He lost the decision to Derek Lewis, 29-20 across the board. Derek Lewis won the fight in the last minute of the third round, Cole. He was losing the fight. He got taken down. Then Latifi got tired, and Lewis just went off on him. So I was impressed, man. What do you think?
Yeah, Latifi, like, I thought he wouldn't be able to handle the shots at heavyweight because he was getting knocked out of light heavyweight. He's getting knocked out of light heavyweight. And he was fighting one of the biggest guys at heavyweight. Like, and he looked good. Like, he took Lewis down. He even threw Lewis down, which is pretty impressive. Like, he looks like he can hold his own at heavyweight. I was really worried about the size. I think he's a top 15 guy at heavyweight. I think he could be. I think he could beat some guys at heavyweight, especially with that wrestling. That wrestling is really dangerous. But Lewis, like you said, Lewis won the final minute and a half because I had Latifi winning that third round. I thought it was 1-1 until that final minute and a half where Lewis kind of went through everything to the wall and he connected and rocked Latifi and won the fight.
That's exactly what happened. I agree with you, Cole. And he got the job done. Derek Lewis, there was a stat on the screen. I think he's fourth all time in heavyweight wins. Cole, he's only like 3 behind Arlovski, who, you know, he's had like 2 or 3 stints in the UFC. Cole, imagine Derek Lewis retires as the all time wins leader of the heavyweight division. Just says so much about that division. But honestly, Lewis is an underrated fighter, man. I think people don't respect him a lot because obviously he shows up a lot of time out of shape. He actually was in shape for this fight, Cole, but he's got a lot of holes in his game still. You know, getting taken down by a guy 20 pounds lighter is not a good look. But Latifi's a strong dude, so whatever. Next up, man, what a freaking fight, Cole. Trevin Giles, James Krause. I think the UFC made the right call giving this one fight of the night. It was an amazing fight. Wow, what a fight, Cole. Now, the scorecards are interesting. It was a split decision for Trevin Giles, 28-29, 29-28, 29-28. Interesting scorecards. I had it for Trevin Giles. I had him winning the second and third round. You know, James Krause definitely won the first round, in my opinion, for sure. It's crazy. One of the judges gave the first round to James Krause or to Trevin Giles, Cole, when James Krause has back for 4 minutes. So, you know, some people said that could have been a 10-8. I don't agree with that because he didn't do any damage. Like, he almost got the submission, didn't get it, though. So I think 29-28 Giles was the right card, but an amazing fight for sure. What do you think, Cole?
Yeah, I thought Giles won the fight. Krause looked really impressive. Like, it was just a power difference. Like, you could tell when Giles hit Krause, like, Krause was like, oh, wow. And when, like, Giles just kept on walking through Krause's punches. But one performance, like, he almost finished Trevin Giles, but Giles showed a lot of better submission defense than he did in his past two fights. Like Krause was really close to finishing that choke in the first round. And then after that round, Giles was really good on the ground. He almost finished Krause at the end of the second round. Like, I had Giles winning, but I don't get – one judge scored the first round for Giles, which I have no idea how you even do that.
I know. It's crazy. I don't know what to say. Let's move on to the next one here. Closed the browser by accident. Dumbass. Next one was, I think, the Morgan Murphy Andrea Lee fight. I don't know what to say, Cole. Split decision, 28-29, 29-28, 30-27 for Lauren Murphy. It was a close fight. Obviously, Murphy got these takedowns at the end of the rounds, but most people score for Andrea Lee. If you look at MMA decisions, I think every scored for Andrea Lee. There's only 12 members, though, compared to 21 for the Jones fight. So, gotta keep that in mind. But yeah, most people thought Andrea Lee won. I'll be honest, I wasn't paying attention too much during this fight. I was doing something, but for what I saw, it was kind of one of those rounds where Lee did a lot of damage early on, and then Lauren Murphy got these takedowns late in the round and obviously stolen the judges' minds. But yeah, obviously there was controversy with the one judge looking down or something during the fight. Joe Rogan was calling him out. What do you think? How'd you score it?
I had it for Lee. I had it 2-1 for Lee. I thought Lee did enough, but it was one of those, it's similar to Beck to Kige, where if Murphy won, it wasn't like, oh, this is a robbery. Like, it was a close fight. It was depends. Did you value that minute of ground control that Murphy had, or like the 3.5 minutes Lee had advantage of striking? Like, came down to those final takedowns, and if you valued Lee striking more than the takedowns, and some judges valued the takedowns more. So it was a close fight. Like, I'm not upset either way of who won it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I mean, who even cares, honestly, at this point? Like, both of them need to, like, especially Andrea Lee. Like, she's been a disappointing two goal. Last two fights, split decision losses, I don't know what to say. Next up, Caelan Williams, Chaos Williams. I don't know what his real name is, Cole. Anyways, he knocks out Morono in the first round. I said in the podcast, well, I said, do not bet on Morono. This is not a guy you play -260 on. He's just not that kind of guy. I wasn't expecting him to get knocked out in 30 seconds, though. But, man, Williams looked good, Cole. This guy's explosive. He's a good athlete. I mean, this is a good win for him, Cole. Morono's not a bad fighter. He knocks him out in 30 seconds. So, that night for Fortis MMA, your guys there, but amazing night for Caelan Williams. He wins a bonus $50,000.
Yeah, he looked really impressive. I didn't know a whole lot about him, but, man, like, to knock out Alex Morono that quickly and to do it, like, his shots look so powerful. Like, I think he's a guy that welterweight division needs to be worried about. Like, he's a guy that is really explosive, has a lot of speed, has a lot of power. I think he can knock out a lot of people at welterweight, so it can be interesting to see what they do with him next.
I'm with you on that one. Mario Bautista, again, he gets a knockout as well. Guy looked impressive, Cole. Actually, he's a guy you're pretty high on here. And he knocks out Miles Johns, who I thought was going to win the fight. But, yeah, he looked really good. Then Jordan Newsome as well, another bantamweight bout, knocks out Domingo Plarte. Any thoughts on those two fights?
Yeah, the Mario Bautista's looked good. Like, ever since the loss to Sanhagen, where no one really knew who either of them were, like, he's a guy that's been impressive. Miles Johns, I was pretty high on to knock him out, was really impressive. Domingo Plarte, I think that's probably it for him in the UFC. He's 0-2. He might get one more because he was a hyped-up guy at the Contender Series. But he was winning that fight. He rocked Newsom, and then he just got too aggressive and stopped worrying about defense, and he got caught and got put out. Like, it was a really good knockout by Jordan Newsom. But the bantamweights really delivered on this fight, I think, because we were saying there's a lot of bantamweight fights, and to get two back-to-back knockouts is kind of surprising.
Yeah, exactly. And there's another bantamweight fight we got to talk about here. Andre Ewell against Jonathan Martinez. Now, I had Ewell in our pool call. This was a bad call. I was watching with my girlfriend. We both were like, Martinez won. And I was like, please get Ewell. I want him in my pool. But, man, it was such a bad decision call. 30-27, 29-28, 28-29 for Andre Ewell. You know, was it like a blowout? It could have been 29-20 either way. But I thought Martinez won two rounds.
I thought Martinez won as well. Yeah. And after, I even picked Ewell. When I heard 30-27, I'm like, oh, dang it, Martinez.
He got pretty hard. I mean, his family was cheering. They showed them, but, man, it was a bad decision. So, to me, Cole, that of the three decisions that everyone's talking about, or four decisions or whatever, there's like five decisions that were like kind of controversial, but this was the one that, to me, was the most controversial. Like, it was, to me, a clear win for Martinez, but once again, the judges, you know, screw someone over. And then, finally, you got Yusuf Zalal defeat Austin Lingo, and Zalal looked really good in this fight, Cole, in his debut in the UFC. We didn't know too much about him, but he goes out there and gets the win over Lingo. This guy could be pretty good at 145.
Yeah, he's a natural bantamweight. If he used to fight, he fought at 140. I think his plan was always go down to bantamweight, but it was short notice. He really, really good footwork, really good ab movement. I think he's going to cause a lot of problems. I think Lingo was a guy I was really high on, but I just think he kind of got plucked too soon. Like, he's just knocking everyone out in LFA in like the first round. I wish he was a guy on a Contender Series. They could match him up so he could have a tougher fight. But it was – Zalal looks impressive, featherweight or bantamweight, wherever he goes. Like, I think he's going to be a problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with that. Again, we could talk about this card forever, but I think we got most of what we want to talk about done. Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything that Dana said in the post-fight about this card? And we'll talk about some news and stuff. But anything else he said or you want to talk about?
He just mentioned – Cannonier is going to be the backup fighter. Yeah, so it looks like he's looks like that tilt fight's not going to happen after all, which sucks. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Cannonier after this card, because Costa deserves a title shot. Cannonier deserves a title shot. You have Till right there. Like, it's going to be interesting what they do with the middleweight division.
That's the second time that Cannonier has been a backup. The last time he missed weight, he came in like a pound heavy or something.
Yeah, that was for the Till Gaslam, I mean, he got it on like 2 weeks' notice. They took him off. He made 185.
It just sucks, man, because honestly, like, he has done more to earn a title shot, but UFC obviously feels like Romero is going to win. I'm not going to lie, Cole, they kept hyping up that card. I'm pretty excited for that fight right now, man. I think Romero might have a chance to win. Like, it's crazy, but, you know, he's such a strong dude. Anyways, I think we're going to stop with right now for UFC. If anyone has any other last questions they want to throw in, go ahead and we'll answer them. I did notice now, and you were talking about, you sent me the message, call, Rafael Lovato and Bellator relinquished his title. No surprise there, Cole. Obviously, he might retire. I don't think he's made that decision yet, but he might retire. I think they're going to do Gegard Mousasi and versus someone. I'm hoping it's Douglas Lima. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a great fight. Mousasi, that's a fight that if Lima wins, like, it finally shows everyone that Lima's one of the best welterweights in the world. Like, because we saw Rory go up to him against Mousasi and it was not even close. Like, Lima, I think, is probably the number, I think he's a top five for sure, maybe even top three welterweight in the world. Like, I'd love to see him be in the UFC. Like, I think him versus, like, Leon Edwards, Tyron Woodley, like, that would be such a good matchup. But if he goes out and beats Gegard Mousasi, like, you have to consider him one of the best, like, either this, like, probably number two best welterweight in the world. Like, and he's a guy that makes a lot of sense. There's not a whole lot of challengers at welterweight. So it's a good fight. I like it. I hope they do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one. We'll see, though. I mean, it could be like Machida, too, or something. I don't know. Like, I hope Douglas Lima gets the fight. That'd be a great fight. By the way, there was that picture floating around of Kamaru Usman and Douglas Lima facing off. That was pretty cool. That'd be a good fight, Cole, you know? I think you got a favorite Usman, though. Like, the guy is – I love Douglas Lima. I think I'm, like, maybe one of his biggest fans, but I think Usman is just, like, on next level with that wrestling. Marcus got some questions. Can you step up as a backup for a title fight 2 weeks or what? I think UFC should reward him a title shot. I think Cole would agree with you on that. Cole's his biggest fan. So
I think Costa would get it ahead of him, though. I think just because Costa and Adesanya have that bit of a rivalry.
And then Marcus has one more question. Who should Derek Lewis fight next? I'll let you answer that, Cole.
And it's giving, like, what do you do? Like, Blades, maybe do Blades. Like, he's sitting out for a while. Like, maybe you just put him in against these fights. Like, I know after the fight, he said he's ready to step in for UFC Columbus against Ngannou Rozenstruik because he doesn't know if they'll make it. But I think he's a guy that Blades, because I don't know who you match up with Blades with. Like, he's going to want to fight pretty soon, especially with Ngannou Rozenstruik happening. Maybe you wait until after that Ngannou Rozenstruik fight to see what happens. But Derek Lewis is a guy you can put against anyone fans are going to want to watch because he's just an excited guy. He has a lot of fan support. So I think no matter who you put him against, it's going to have eyes on the fight no matter what.
Looking at the rank, he's ranked number six. Blaze is three. Volkov is number seven. He needs a fight. He doesn't have an opponent right now, so that could be it. Kevin
Lewis knocked out Volkov too.
Knocked him out. Actually, that'd be an interesting rematch though, because we remember what happened with the first fight, Cole, the last second knockout. So that could be a rematch to the UFC to book. Got a question from Kevin. And Kevin, I got your email question. We're gonna answer in a second here, but we'll go to Kevin's question. Zhang's four UFC fights are against really short opponents. Interesting to see how she does against someone when she doesn't have the size advantage. Yeah, that fight with Joanna is going to be good. Kevin's got a question here in the email call. What do you say here? It was just about champs. And let me read your question now, Kevin. Hi, Adam. I wanted to flesh out my point in a few more words after the chat last week. Point against champ fights is this: zero risk associated with the fighter choosing to move divisions and challenge for a second belt. If they win, they get a second belt. Never consider moving back down the ISF division for a year. Yeah, that makes sense. And then you just give some examples like Connor and DC and Nunez. So who those examples of fighters that kind of held up their division. So to him, he doesn't like, remember we talked about this last week, Cole, he doesn't like fighters switching divisions to challenge for second belts. But to me, that's what the UFC likes. They want to have that image of them holding the two titles against the octagon quote, and then they give up their second belt. So, you know, like I said, if he does move to heavyweight, which probably isn't going to happen, although I wouldn't mind it. If he does do that call, I don't expect him to give up light heavyweight. I think it'd be like one of the situations where he just moves up, takes the fight, and then sees what happens, or whoever else does it. But yeah, anything else you want to talk about with that as far as the champs go? Yeah.
I don't really like champ fights anymore. I think they were overdone. Like, I think it was cool when Connor did it just because the first time. I think it only makes sense, like, Nunes made sense because there was no one at bantamweight or featherweight at the time. I think it only makes sense in certain scenarios. I think Cejudo really didn't make sense because he only had one title defense. Like, I think it's fights, like, if Nunes or Shevchenko eventually, like, in two more fights wants to go up to 35, it makes sense because she's out of contenders. I think people are too worried about champ status. Like, Adesanya, too, like, he needs to defend his belt. Like, I don't even think that Jones fight's going to happen next year because Adesanya has so many contenders at middleweight that I think he needs to defend against first, because they all hold up the divisions for like a year. And the problem is, when the champ doesn't fight, neither does the top five guys, because they think they can be right there for title shots. They don't want to risk it, and they hold out too. Like, just hurts everyone really with the champ fights.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. You know, Cole, there's a lot of fights that were announced this weekend, but I'm going to save them for my own podcast tomorrow, because I think we've did enough for today. Also, you're going to be joining me tomorrow, I believe, right?
At
11 a.m. for UFC Rio Rancho. So that card is not amazing, but I got to admit, I'm pretty intrigued by this Diego Sanchez-Michelle Paheya fight. What the hell is going to happen at that fight? Two crazy nutcases. It's going to be a good one. And then, of course, you got the main event, which everyone's talking about, between Corey Anderson and Blackwood, which could end up being a title shot. The first fight was awful. The second fight could be more intriguing, especially after Corey Anderson got that huge knockout win over Johnny Walker. Another guy we're not talking about too much, Cole. It's too bad he lost, because had he beat Corey Cole, he would have been easily the next guy in line, in my opinion, but lost that fight. Anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
No, I think that's all.
All right, cool. Yeah, I think that's good for today. Cole, appreciate you joining me on short notice, man, for pinch hitting there. Guys, appreciate all the questions. And of course, we love having you guys go in there and share your thoughts in the chat room. I'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. talking about all the fight announcements on the weekend. I'm sure there's going to be some more news tonight and tomorrow as well. So definitely join me then. And then Cole will join me at 11 a.m. tomorrow to break down UFC Rio Rancho. And I think that's it. Cole, plug your stuff.
Yeah, Twitter, at ColeShell91. Articles with Jan Blachowicz this week, Montana De La Rosa, quite a bit of fighters. Still have some of my stuff from Leon Edwards, but everything will be on my Twitter, whatever I do.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And the podcast is always available at MMAOdsBreaker.com. That's our home. And also check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. Once again, guys, appreciate all the questions. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Cole, thanks for joining me, man. Guys, have a good one. Bye.